Welcome to Donk Down Radio. I am your host. My name is Brian the Icon Micon. Some people think of me as a poker player. I think that that would be inaccurate. I would go first human, then scientist, then father. Maybe father first. You know what? I'm going to have to edit this just in case my wife listens. She used to listen every week, but you know, just hang out for 8 years. Michael Dean may be on the show this evening, and he does a bunch of things that I'm probably going to like involving guns and weed, and he's a Bitcoin advocate, and he has a real show, and yeah, no, it's just, well, I think here he is now. This is Michael Dean. Hi. Well, that's wonderful, gentlemen.
He got busy with with changing the world and being my my programmer, and I'm being his cat herder for the Meowbit project.
Well, thanks, gentlemen, for coming on the show. I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Pleasure to meet you, Brian.
You guys, I was poking around. I don't know if it's Michael's site or both of yours, but you guys actually know how to set one of these podcasts up for real.
Michael does.
Yeah. I do a radio show called The Freedom Fiends that's started as a podcast, and it's now syndicated on 22 radio stations. And I've been podcasting since, about 6 months after podcasting existed. It's what I was looking for my whole life because I always wanted to be on radio and nobody would let me.
I know. I love that part. That I have like, you know, $800 worth of a computer, and then now I can just broadcast myself if I want. And you guys can just, and people can listen or not, or I wanted to always give it away for free. I never wanted a bullshit distribution system. Come and take the MP3. Every show I've ever done, I started in 2005, and I think just because I didn't want to pay for, like, regular therapy.
Yeah, I always say without podcasting, I'd be standing on a street corner with a bullhorn yelling at passersby.
Yeah, that's well. So tell me what you guys do, because I saw the Guns and Weeds project. I watched the trailer briefly, and other than that, you know, I got this awesome scheduling agent, Mike T, who decided to come in and just get me awesome guests in the anarchy, Bitcoin, poker, pod, you know, whatever tech world. And yeah, give me a little background. Tell me what's up. You sound like, from the cursory view, you look like my kind of people.
Thanks, man. You go first, Eric.
I'm just a programmer. I'm doing a little bit of software activism. Been working on this Namecoin thing, helping people get set up so that they can use .bit domains from their Windows computers without too much hassle. It's a project that Michael started with another project he was working on a couple, geez, I guess just a month and a half ago or so, and it kind of mutated into this.
I got a ton of Namecoin questions for you in a moment here, because I've been intrigued about. I've started Bitcoin 2011. I've, of course, Namecoin, the first alt, you know, kind of co-mined. Anyway, we will get to that in a second, but I have a ton of questions, and I love that idea.
Okay, I'm Michael Dean. I do the Freedom Fiends radio show. I do a show called Michael Dean After Dark. Most of what I do for a living is I'm a tech writer and a documentary filmmaker. I'm always into alternative forms of getting the word out there. People have enough voice. You know, I jumped on the internet like before there was a web. It was what I was looking for my whole life. I'm going to turn 50 here pretty soon, but kind of a young 50, always looking for something new, always looking for something interesting, and don't like authority figures. That's the main thing, which it doesn't mean I'm a brat and I'm like, I don't like to be told what to do. It means like, why should I let someone tell me what to do when it doesn't affect them and it doesn't harm anybody? That's been kind of my thing my whole life, even back when I was a voter. But I'm a non-voting, for lack of a better term, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist. The way I say it is, I'm in recovery from government. I used to be addicted to government, and I'm 6 years clean.
That's awesome. That's a brilliant introduction, actually. You definitely do radio at some point. That's clear. I echo your sentiments on voting. My voter registration, when they occasionally send it to me, goes right in the trash where it belongs. And yeah. I envision a 5-election cycle internet-based campaigning on something like the Anonymous Party, the Pirate Party, something with that is actual change, not the Obama-branded, same Chomsky-like debate, narrow debate, but a fierce debate, Republicans, Democrats, that's all wrong. Bought and paid for politicians making laws for the corporations that paid them. that system's wrong. We all know that. And I think it's going to take those kids that grow up with a mouse in hand to form a party like that. Five election cycles. You're going to need 2 decades to get this done and really get the change. But I think it's coming. I think we'll see it in our lifetime.
I don't think that it's going to come from voting. And I like the Pirate Party and what they believe in, but I don't like them as a party because I don't think that any system that involves voting and choosing who – basically any government, what it is my friend Nima Vedati, who I do the Freedom Fiends with, says it really well. He says it is a machine gun on a 360-degree rotating turret, and voting is deciding who gets to fire that machine gun at everybody. And you're not going to get somebody in who's going to change the system or fix it. Basically, it's going to come from the kids with the mouse in their hand going, wait, we don't need government. This is everything. Everything is, you know, like Bitcoin is proof you don't need government. Linux, GNU/Linux is proof you don't need government. It's people doing massive distributed projects without central leadership, without coercion, you know, without a gun to your head, without being forced to pay for it. People who want to get together and pay for it doing it. And that's where the change is going to come. It's like, here's what it is. Government is probably not going to go away, but it's going to turn into MySpace. MySpace still exists. It's still got 200 million users, but no one's logged in 6 years.
Yeah, I understand. I understand this point. I like how you articulate it from the, you know, true voluntarism and true, you know, true anarchy, true, you know, no central government. But I always have these burning questions. And I don't know where, I guess maybe my ethos lies close to that, but I don't, you know, I don't think there's
it
one
will.
Or four words to
I mean, you're a poker guy.
It.
Everyone wants to take your money that you earn with your own skill.
Sure.
That's proof that you shouldn't have any central government at all. And you're not going to elect a guy who's going to let you keep all your poker winnings.
To play devil's advocate, just on the whole no central government thing, what about the power grid? What about like a countrywide, you know, or a landmass-wide electrical system that when
That's better than think about the roads. That's a little more advanced than the question everyone's taught in school to ask of, what about the roads?
Yeah, roads can never be paid unless there's a government just firing off your money at war.
Derek, you take this one.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the bit. I'm actually in the energy industry. I work for a company that regulates the electric wholesale market, and we work with exchange between Canada and New England. And it was created by the stakeholders, which are like the utilities and transmission companies and generators and all that stuff. They created us. And I really look at my company as an example. It's a nonprofit. It's registered as a nonprofit. But I look at it as an example of private industry doing what government used to have to do.
I have a technological goal in my life, where I really, really want to make a ton of money, but not so I can, like, you know, have sex with more women on different boats, but really to solve the energy crisis. And really want just a device, maybe graphene-based solar, maybe it's something I don't even know yet because I went to Indiana University, that everybody can have, that can be produced for $500, that can generate enough power for your house as long as the sun is shining, you know, on average, you know, 30% of the month.
There's always the desire for
the grid,
for the box that would take care of that. And I think that without the government, that box would be here. Mm. And I'm not even one of these like, oh, someone invented the perpetual motion machine and the government stopped him.
Yeah.
And the guy invented the thing that can get 400 miles of the gallon and the energy companies killed him. I'm just saying, like, without the government there,
I think the government misdirects a lot of motivation of people. You know, there's regulations and stuff that you have to go through, and you know, so you
fierce
can make your energy box
in
your basement, and then you've got to ask the government for permission to deploy it. You know, you may even have to ask the government for permission to build it.
I'll say that I think that the power grid if the government just dissolved overnight, and first of all, if the government just disappeared overnight, it would be back up in a day unless people internalize the we don't need a government and someone to tell us what to do and control our lives and kill us for smoking pot and steal 3/4 of our income when you put everything together of all the taxes they take. The state is a state of mind. It's the belief, it's the religion believing that you need that. And it's only been around for like 1% of the time that humans have been around. Before that, it was different. And I believe it will go away eventually. But the power grid, I think, would be the first thing that would be taken care of by private industry without the government. I was without power in my town when it was like 22 below zero this year for about a day. And those guys, and it's a privately owned power company in this area, they were out 24/7 deployed on every street getting stuff back up. It was it rained and then it froze and like all the trees just cracked and there was massive tree damage on lines. And they were out there immediately like putting it back up because you don't pay for power when the power's down, you know? Like if a road is out of service, the government fixes it when they get around to because there's no market incentive for them to hurry. But when you're paying for power every second you're using it like you do in a private industry, they get out there and they want to get it back up immediately because they're losing millions of dollars in a city for every minute it's down.
Sure.
And the internet's kind of like that too. If the government took, you know, shut down the internet, there's so much market pressure now from, you know, anybody on the network to be able to send anybody else on the network a message, you know, without interference or restriction, that if the government started or whatever, you know, agency started preventing that, there'd be market pressure. People would send up satellites, you know. I mean
they're probably gonna do that anyway. I like the idea.
So let's jump away from the I mean, we get these questions all the time of like, how would the government, and first of all, it's like, I'm not the libertarian answer guy, you know. I can conjecture, but you're asking me crystal ball questions.
Sure.
All I can say is the market would take care of it.
I like discussing the macros on these things. I don't like discussing, you know, like, look at this example of one of the I like to say, oh, you are, it's a private industry. And I can almost, I mean, like, for that debate, I think I can see that. I can see private industry taking that over.
Let's talk about the thing that Derek and I have done that takes the government out of the equation for sites like yours that could be shut down at any time by any government without due process by someone you'll never meet or know the name of. How about that?
Yeah, like the .bit project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell me
this is how we make it obsolete.
I'm going to tell you two things about the .bit project before you enlighten me, because it sounds like you're going to be, you know, 100x more knowledgeable than me. And I just want to tell you what a Bitcoin enthusiast thinks about it. My perspective on what Namecoin is, what the .bit project is, and I have really tried to research this. Not the college try, but the real try. And I could not figure out the .bit system. I tried to mine. I have a small little ASIC miner set up that I've had for a year or so that I chopped with another guy that we connect to Slush's pool. There's a button to click generate my name coins also. So I read a little bit about how it's co-mined. Don't quite understand that. And
run on BTC Guild, and they have the merge minings automatically set up for you. You don't even have to opt in.
Let's not bury the lead, though. Nobody knows what we're talking about. Derek can tell you how to mine the stuff. I want to tell you what it is and tell your listeners what it is.
Distributed DNS.
You don't really need to mine it. You need to go buy $3 worth of Namecoin right now, and that'll last you the rest of your life for what you need. Yep. Basically, you can register three domains for 20 years with $3 worth of Namecoin. Namecoin is a spinoff of Bitcoin. It's similar code, but it's got an extra tab on it that says manage names. In the manage names tab, you can register domain names with the .bit extension. Now, this has been around for 3 years, but you haven't really been able to easily view .bit domains. But Derek came up with something called MeowBit. You can get it free at meowbit.com. It's a Windows utility, works on Windows 7, 8, XP, or Vista, if you have that. And there's another thing that another guy made called FreeSpeechMe that works on Linux on one browser only. And you can view them. Basically, you don't have to go through ICANN or some central domain registry to buy your domain for $10 a year. You basically register it with about, you know, 7 cents worth of Namecoin. You have to renew it about every 8 months with 7 cents worth of Namecoin.
Is that just is it Bitcoin-like in that the network manages this? So all the Namecoin miners or the merged mining with the Bitcoin miners are managing this .bit network and cryptographically securing it?
Yeah, it's a fork of Bitcoin. So it's like Bitcoin. Plus, you can register names on it. You know, you set up key value pairs where you register your name and store some data in the blockchain. But other than that, it's exactly like Bitcoin.
So it's a different blockchain.
It is a different blockchain. Yeah. The Namecoin blockchain is a different, separate than the Bitcoin blockchain, and it runs on a similar thing. If I downloaded the Namecoin, is it some QT thing that kind of looks like the Satoshi wallet that just holds Namecoins instead of Bitcoin? So is Namecoin the first altcoin?
It's not, but it's. I don't know if Namecoin or Litecoin came out first.
Well, fuck Litecoin.
It's been around 3 years.
That doesn't do anything useful to me. Litecoin does nothing useful to me. Every time I've, it's script mining instead of ASIC. That'll fucking help. Like, no, it doesn't. It's transaction times are faster. That doesn't
fucking
help. It's
so funny, man. Bitcoin I cuss like a sailor. I cuss like a sailor, but I'm on radio all the time. So I'm like, every time you cuss, I'm looking on my screen to hit the cuss dump button. It's not there because it's your show. It's like hardwired now, man.
My only format that I've ever done since 2005 is sometimes it starts late. I don't care if I sometimes I can't get my iTunes RSS feed. I want to say fuck. I want to download it. If you don't pick up the show, if I never make any money from it, that's fine. I make money other ways. This is my therapy, and I just want to do it. And it has to be done that way. I can't not say fuck. I can't tailor the message to somebody else. This is how it has to be done. It's however I want to do it.
Yeah, I look at Namecoin. I mean, Namecoin really brought something to the table. I mean, some people will make the argument that Litecoin brought something to the table
Nobody smart would make that argument.
But then there's all these other Namecoins that are just kind of based, I mean, altcoins.
Sure.
That are just kind of based on Litecoin. I don't know. I mean, you know,
I don't get
I call them Me Too coins. I want a coin.
Every Dog Down Radio.
Litecoin for a little while. Sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Every Donk Down Radio, for the last couple months, I've opened CoinMarketCap every week. In a couple weeks, I just don't show up because I go to play poker. It's not every week. The show doesn't have a schedule. But every week, the CoinMarketCap.com list grows. I think I started doing it when there were 32 coins listed here. I think there was 175 last week. I can see on CoinMarketCap 199 altcoins right now.
Yeah.
Oh, there was an article in Newsweek a while back that said 145 new altcoins have come out since April. It was, you know, of last year, and it was like it was kind of below the fold, you know, the bottom of the page on whatever site I was looking at it. I didn't see the April, and I thought it was going to say since breakfast. 145 new coins since breakfast.
I like some of the ideas for some of them. For me, Namecoin. Can we just? We can think of it as an altcoin, similar to, same public key, private key cryptography as Bitcoin, same fucking QT client, same core, same blockchain style database, you know, mutually managed by the entire everybody, no central, except just an extra part of it. And then, of course, if the world would use .bit domain names, if they would download MeowBit, and then I've never been to a .bit.
You know what would be? You know what would be the
nerd into Bitcoin for years.
You know what would be the most? Here's the thing: Namecoin is the only altcoin that is not a competition to Bitcoin. It's no threat to Bitcoin, and in fact, it is a great hand in hand boon to Bitcoin. You know what would be? I've been saying this. It's kind of funny that you contacted us because I've been saying this since we started working on .bit that the most killer app in the world would be some sort of poker site or, you know, gaming site that takes Bitcoin and not other currencies, just Bitcoin, and is run has a backup on a .bit site, and there's some kind of like encouraging of like you win something if you set up the, you know, MeowBit or something to be able to look at it on .bit, because those sites get shut down all the time, man, with no due process. So it would be the one thing that would be really beneficial for it to just be able to be up instantly.
Yeah, I mean,
Brian,
go ahead.
Did Seal start off on .com?
Seals was a .org at the very inception stages. That was before I was involved, though.
Oh, I thought you started.
I've been with Seals since 2011. So when I started with Seals, there were 5 connected players on average.
Yeah, I started playing on Seals right when you were advertising on LRN. For a little while. Yep. That's when I heard about it. I played for a year or so, and I love the site. How did you?
If you started when it was LRN, then that you had a good chance to make. That was probably not to say that it's not good now, because you know people that USD normalized poker, you know, poker pros that are trying to win, they've all reported, hey, this is an easy site still. But during the 2012 time, it was even easier. And then instead the $100 table, instead of being, you know, 0.2 Bitcoin was 10 Bitcoin buy-in or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, the minimums were pretty small. Yeah, I probably should give a shout-out to Crosby, too. I looked over my wife's shoulder. I don't play anymore, but she does. And I looked over my wife's shoulder, and I saw Crosby was still playing there, and he was there, you know, all the time when I used to play.
I think he's made a lot of coins from the site over time, too. He's been, yeah, he's been hanging out a while.
I've beat him. I've beat him.
One hand, one time. So how did...
Well, no, a couple times. How did you end up over on .eu, though? What's that story?
Yeah, I mean, the .eu domain name has, or the, you know, the European Union has shown a propensity not to do what you said, to just randomly, no due process, scoop gaming domain names. I think a .com would be pretty stupid right now for anybody doing a Bitcoin anything site, really. I just don't, yeah. I wouldn't choose .com. It's just the climate for a tech company to locate in America right now and mess with Bitcoin is just very poor, unfortunately. Very unfortunately.
Yeah. But do you feel pretty confident with EU, or has EU shut down anybody?
No. And that's why, and that's, you can see like Nitrogen Sports, CloudBet. I think my CloudBet might be a .com still, but like some of the more responsible, some of the newer, more responsible sites, they're flocking to .eu, it seems, right now. And when you ask, are you comfortable with that? No. I mean, would I much rather have a distributed domain name system do it instead of ICANN? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. But it's unfortunately nobody knows how to use .bit. I'm gonna play with this MeowBit browser all night tonight, and I'm on Cripsy right now, logging in, ready to buy Namecoin.
Awesome. Yeah, I mine altcoins. I transfer into Cripsy and I buy Namecoin because that it is cheap right now. So
damn.
You know, I think Michael said it was $3.30 or something like that. I think it's down to $3 right now, and I think it's just because more people are mining it, and people,
it's because of us. It's because people said, you know, basically a lot of people thought it was kind of a dead currency because there was no way to use it. It's been out for, it'll be 3 years old this next month, and you know, nothing was happening with it. And all of a sudden, I started doing interviews on it all the time with this other guy, or for this other guy's project. And his thing wasn't going anywhere, and Derek's thing was better, worked system-wide instead of on one browser. So I started working with him. And
Is it just a plugin?
No. Explain it, Derek.
It's a Windows system service. So it runs as a service in Windows.
No,
it's got a little monitor app, and it makes .bit resolution available for all Internet applications. Not just browser, but
every browser,
like
email,
DNS, like
FTP,
DNS level,
IM.
Somewhere in the DNS level of my computer, I can install the MeowBit service, and every time I type in .bit into any browser or like a FTP program or
IRC client, man, whatever you want to use,
and then it just knows, it just understands the global peer-to-peer network that is .bit. It resolves a .bit names from the network, from that blockchain.
No. From the blockchain on your end. And
okay.
It's not,
so that's
it's
how
not
something could propagate.
You don't have to go into your DNS to... Basically, it's a one-click install, but you also have to install the Namecoin wallet, let it update the first time for 5 hours, and then after that, it does it in the background.
Sure.
And blockchain, it just automatically does it from your system, which is irrefutable. You're not going out to some DNS server and trusting that hasn't been hacked. It's you're getting what is in the blockchain.
Sure.
Namecoin are $2.70 each right now, $2.70.
So you need a Namecoin QT client running to have the current Namecoin blockchain, and then you need the MeowBit Windows service. And then does it work on my Mac too?
Not yet. No.
Okay. Just wondering.
Mac developers?
I'm sure it's we do, but of course they're all just, you know, they're all just wasting their life trying to code poker. Can you believe that? But you know, but to be fair, if we're successful and it scales properly, then you know, we'll just fund every single cool project ever. I promise you that for me personally.
Awesome.
You know, we
promise you I'll make
your...
it rain.
We tried to your manager guy asked us to register some domains for you. Donkdown.bit, someone has grabbed, and sealswithclubs.bit, someone has grabbed. But
yikes.
Your name, your actual name.bit, I've grabbed, and I'll give to you free whenever you want it.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Thank you, Michael. That's
really
cool.
And you know, the thing is with I mean, there has been a lot of domain sniping with people grabbing stuff, because it's kind of silly, because I mean, people are grabbing like Pepsi.bit. It's like Pepsi's never going to buy your .bit. They're never going to want to be on .bit. This is for outlaws, man. But
right now it is.
It is right now. But the people that that are grabbing, like, grabbed your name, didn't actually put any, like, you go to that site, there's nothing there. So there's no, like, pay me $10,000. You know, like, you can't find who it is. So
I want to say, I wonder if I did, you know, I played with name calling.
Did you do one, it?
You know, see, how would I know? I mean, like, if I did it, well, and then fucked it off, then, like,
if you have a Namecoin wallet, you'd look in your Namecoin wallet and you'd look under manage names and see if it's in there.
Have you ever had a Namecoin wallet installed?
I played with all of this in early 2011 before I was involved in SEALs, before, like, just, you know, get on. You know, I read about the Sony hackings. There's a link at the bottom. Send us Bitcoin.
In 2011, there was not a GUI client for it. It was command line only. And if you'd registered it in 2011, it would have expired by now if you hadn't renewed it. So it would not be registered.
But, so is there a chance somebody drops that, or I would need them to drop it to get it? Can I somehow 51% my donkdown.bit back, or is this whole system's built like that?
You'd either have to wait. Someone may hear this and call you and say, I have it. Pay me one Bitcoin or whatever they want. Or you can just wait until it's about to expire and just sit there in front of your machine and watch the blocks count down and grab it when it expires. Awesome. If they don't do it first.
If somebody registered it, I'm sure they either did it with the intention of giving it to you or selling it to you. I mean, it could be a user.
Yeah.
I want to say, there's a chance that I'm messaging another guy and I'm like, hey, you know Namecoin, right? Oh, you know, command line. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Can I just give you $10 and you register it?
You might have done it. Yeah.
I have no idea.
It might be a friend holding it for you. We've actually had cases of that, like Corbett Report, James Corbett. He does a show, a Liberty show. I'm doing an interview with him tomorrow, and like somebody came to me and said, oh, yeah, like I've sort of become the libertarian ICANN for like non-violent, you know, non-coercive ICANN. Like people have come to me and
voluntary said, ICANN, man, Namecoin has to just hit right in your wheelhouse, Michael.
Like someone came to me and said, I have Stefan Molyneux.bit. Do you want it to give to him to get an interview? And I said, yeah. And I took it and I contacted him and said, hey, I have this. Do you want to do an interview? And his manager wrote me back and said, we're not interested in this at this time. And like I said, I still transfer it to you. And they're like, nah, just whatever, you know.
I heard about Mark Dice getting thrown off of YouTube the other day.
I wrote him. Did you get Mark Dice out?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I put my contact info in it. I said, this is for Mark Dice, YouTube hero. Just email me and I'll give it to you for free.
I love the idea.
That's all right in the registration.
I love the idea of a .bit. I just hope that you guys can evangelize properly. I guess if I can ever really fucks up, then there is a fallback here. You know, but a lot of this is theoretical. We're talking theoreticals now.
The problem is with waiting until that happens. And when that happens, people are going to be scrambling to do that. But first of all, when ICANN starts massively seizing domains of people that disagree with the government or are doing things like poker the government doesn't like.
When
they start doing it
started.
Massively. They're not doing it massively. When they start doing that enough that people feel their site is threatened, first of all, meowbit.com is probably going to be down then. You know, that's going to be the first one they take down, or one of them, so that people can't get around it.
Sure, you can torrent the fuck out of that already,
though. Yeah, we could torrent the fuck out of it, but we'd have to, like, go to Twitter and, you know, find, you know. Basically, people should do this now.
Yeah, plant the
seeds now. Here's the thing now. Do you want to buy a gun and learn to use it now, or do you want to try to do it during when the shit hits the fan?
I did it a while ago.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I've actually met people who are like, oh, I'm not against guns. I just, I don't know. I have other priorities. I'll do that if things ever get bad enough. And I'm like, you won't be able to when things get bad enough.
The ammunition, I couldn't find 9mm ammunition after the Sandy Hook thing for like 8 months.
So, you know,
imagine if something real happened.
Download MeowBit now, install it, play around with it, and then forget about it. You know, register a .bit of your site and keep it up to date and forget about it. Basically, like doing that would take an hour of your time and then 5 minutes of your time a year. And, you know, most people are like, well, I'm too busy going to this prepper seminar to learn things I already know. It's like, this is prepping. This is literally prepping, you know?
I love
it, guys. It's the one thing the government can take away. Like, to take your guns, they have to risk their lives, you know? To take your domain name, they have to send a fax and you'll never know who did it.
It probably still is a fax, too.
It is. I know for a fact it
is. It's probably they're just changing those little roller toners like every fucking 2 days.
It's a fax, man.
I'm mad that the multi-device printer scanners have fax, though.
Hey, I got a shout out here for something I'm doing.
Shout.
Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, who is one of the greatest liberty voices out there, got invited to speak at Porkfest, doesn't have money to get there. I'm doing an Indiegogo campaign to raise $2,000 to get him there in style, get him and his wife there and back in style. If you want to help out,
I got Ben Stone. Okay. I got Fiddy on it. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Sounds like he needs, you know.
Yeah.
Sounds like he needs it, though. Sounds like it's fucking important. How do I get there?
It is.
Yeah, he's an incredible speaker.
Go to badquaker.com. That's his site, and there's a link to the Indiegogo campaign on there. You should also give us your email address, too, so we don't have to go through your manager, so I can talk to you later. And
Mike T is awesome, first of all. The guy that set this up
He's great, and I understand managers. I wish I could need one.
He's a volunteer. He volunteered for this position, and he knew to connect. He must consume all
he
the
got
awesome.
It. Yeah, he got
he
it.
He consumes all the awesome stuff, and he knows about shit that I don't. But, yeah, MikeCon@sealswithclubs.eu is my personal email. Just fire anything you want to MikeCon@sealswithclubs.eu.
I'll throw you an email too, Brian, because if you need any help setting up or any assistant or anything needs any help getting any of this .bit stuff set up. Now, Michael's written some incredible tutorials that are on meowbit.com to teach you how to use Namecoin and register your domain and configure your web server and all that stuff.
Well, people will walk you through it. We'll even give you a little bit of Namecoin to get you started because
I'm on Cripsy. I already have an account.
Don't keep coins on exchanges.
Of course,
man.
I wouldn't ever keep a coin on Cripsy, but if I needed to buy some crazy altcoin, I'll set up a computer that doesn't have any bitcoins on it, put the QT wallet on there, go to Cripsy, ship it to that. I've evangelized on this show. Especially in the face of the Mt. Gox stuff. I was saying it before that too, man.
I'm glad you're doing that. That's a really important thing to do because there's so many things that can go wrong, from seizures to hacking to cracking to just failure of hardware, who knows what.
Yeah, I no question that an exchange is an exchange. I tell them, this is a gambling community too, so I say that for the sports books. You don't keep money on a sports book. You put it in. It's Bitcoin. You take the ones that do instant both ways, put it in, bet your game, win or lose. If you win, withdraw to a wallet that's secure.
It's kind of like what I say, because a lot of people that I know are gold bugs. They own gold or they have guns or both. But then they get into Bitcoin, they keep their money in an exchange. And I'm like, would you keep your gold in a bank? Would you keep your guns at the municipal gun storage place? No, you want it all at home.
The gold. I don't know if you guys are agorists, but I never understand gold as a value store. I never have. I never understand, and it always makes me more angry than it should when somebody says, Bitcoin, like gold. And I get this anger in the bottom, and I'm like, gold is a metal. It's a fucking element. We can go point to it on the periodic table. Bitcoin is a 64-character private key corresponding to a public key. It has nothing to do with metal. Yes, I understand both are value stores. So can beer. Beer can be a value store. When I was 18 and you couldn't buy beer in college and a guy had beer, he had a value store. He could easily convert that. That was better than fiat. People would pay double the fiat that it was worth to get it. I mean,
when I find Sam Adams on sale, I fill my basement with it. That's my value store. Damn right.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, just like these are, I don't know, like if you guys, I usually whenever I'm talking to crazy libertarians, which I say that, I mean that in a good way. Like, oh, yes, a crazy libertarian. Cool. And like I always get to gold. It always gets to gold. Everyone's got their gold stashed away in those cute little packets, the little like cellophane packets with a little piece of gold in there and the different sizes. Yeah. You know how many of those I've seen from my friends?
Well, I think it's good not to put all your eggs in one basket. I don't have just Bitcoin. I don't have just gold nor just silver or just Sam Adams in my basement, you have a little bit of food, I mean, everything's an asset.
Sure.
What isn't an asset probably is just pieces of paper.
Think about how much aspirin would be an asset or whiskey if the shit hit the fan.
I like in Doomsday Preppers, I like the guys that have all the fine wine and the whiskey and the hard liquors, because holy shit.
If you're on, that's stupid to go on that show, man. You're saying rob me, I mean, maybe one guy couldn't rob them, but I'll bet a gang of people could rob them. That's so stupid.
I never understood the guy that's like, I put $1 million into my security system. Here's a camera, here's a camera, here's a pillbox, here's where I put the mines, here's where I, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think some of it's fake, though.
I agree with
that. It's not just all about filling your house with gold or beer or whatever, too. I mean, it's about having some skills, you know. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think the guy with skills who has 122 rifle and a box of bullets for it, of 50 bullets, is going to do better when the shit hits the fan than a lot of these people that just have stuff.
Oh, yeah, the entire millennials.
Aggressing on people.
Almost all the millennials are done. Yeah. They don't even know what the fuck's going on. They really don't know.
Yeah, nobody in Jersey even knows how to pump gas. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I live in Casper, Wyoming, which is, it's a city. It's got 50,000 people, but... I would rather be here without a gun than in L.A. where I used to live with a gun if the shit hit the fan.
How about Vegas? You think that's a good choice of residency?
I think that would be a horrible – I think in the city would be insanely horrible because at any given time, that city is full of people who believe in magic, which isn't saying there's anything wrong with gambling. But I'm saying like the people that are there, you know, like 10 to 20% of the people on the street at any time in Las Vegas believe in magic. And that's awesome. Not the people you want around you.
That's but you're not too far from the wilderness, though. I mean, you go a mile up the road and all of a sudden you're in the desert. So
I think 20 miles outside of Vegas would be great.
I live right next to the mountains on the southwest side. If anybody wants to do the Google Maps, Google Earth like thing, you can sort of see that like if the stratosphere fell down, it wouldn't be close to me. But
little town. I was in Vegas a couple of years ago and went out to Red Rock Canyon there.
Sure.
And then we kind of went past it and took a left.
Yeah.
Up, there's an old gypsum mine up there.
Mount Charleston. Mine towards. I know where you went.
I've seen it on CSI.
Where the donkeys?
The railroad.
Do you see the donkeys?
Yeah. So I pulled into this little town and there's a donkey giving birth in the middle of the fucking road, man. And I could still smell Vegas, you know. And went into this little. There was a little Indian kid that was talking about how he'd been watching this donkey, you know.
Yeah, so that
and it was just crazy. I mean, it does not take very far.
Yeah.
You don't have to go very far to get right into the wilderness. I mean, that was hung out in that town. What's the name of that town?
I want to say it's West Las Vegas. I need to get the. Now you're really fucking with me because I remember the donkey. They have a burrow crossing. It looks like everybody moved off the grid here, like right outside of Vegas.
I sent my wife a postcard from there, and I just asked her. She can't remember what the name of the town is either, but.
I have a P.O. box there. Like a place that, like, you know, it's not going
to... You probably know the lady behind the counter. I talked to her for a while, and she was not from there, but it was interesting. I mean, just to think that you can be in Vegas 1 minute, and 20 minutes later, you're just in the sticks, you know? I live in the sticks in Maine, but that was
It's called Blue Diamond Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. That's it, yeah. This is a Blue Diamond gypsum mine.
Yes, and there is that gypsum mine. That demonstrates a very, very solid knowledge of the southwest side of Las Vegas. I mean, that is a brilliant. That's brilliant right there.
So that is southwest. That's the side you live on.
That is further west than I live because it is in the side of the mountain near the gypsum mine. But yes, that's very close to where I live. I can see that donkey giving birth from my house in like 17 minutes. If there was money involved or something.
Yeah, I love Nevada. I lived out in Utah for a little while. You know, I love the desert, but I loved Vegas. But
you guys sound like your standard people that I would hang out with. I mean, I would just bet that some of you, either one of you, could probably roll a joint if a guy had a gun to your head and made you do it.
It's been a little while, but I could probably roll it up pretty fast.
You could roll.
I'm 20 years sober, but I rolled my own cigarettes for a while, so I had a chance to not forget how to roll something up.
Consider the weed non-sobering? Or do you consider the weed like, this guy's on weed? He's on the sauce.
I never liked weed. I was a heroin guy, and the only time I ever smoked weed was when I was kicking heroin.
I would consider any sort of a strong opiate addiction real drugs. I would consider that, like, for me, I had some friends that, of course, did all the Roxy's Oxys and the 4-year decline, and we throw them in the, you know, in the rehab facility, then they escape. Then the methadone. You know, I've done all that with a couple of friends, and never myself. But that's a whole different. We could probably do a half hour on the over pharmacization.
Really quickly define it if you want it. I have not had the only drugs I've had 20 years this July 7th. The only drugs I've had are nicotine and caffeine. And I also believe that heroin should be legal, untaxed, unregulated, and sold in vending machines.
Okay.
As long as they're privately owned and operated.
That's great. Man, Michael, I really like you. You guys have some, Derek, no offense. I mean, I'm sure that we would hang out too, but he just, you know, Michael's more vocal about his, about
Michael,
his more,
Michael puts it well, yeah. Yeah.
Got a linguist. Very good. You guys watching Cosmos?
I don't know what that is.
I haven't yet. I'm still trying to get caught up on The Walking Dead.
NGT, continuing where Sagan left off, trying to be the America's foremost science communicator and inspire these fucking kids to not watch football so much as, like, you know, learn particle physics.
Yeah, I do enjoy him. He did a lot of good novas that I've caught, but I haven't seen the new show yet.
Eight?
He's kind of an awful status, but
I was just going to say I love science and I love science shows, but so many people with PhDs believe they know how to run the country just because they know how the universe works. It's not. It does. One doesn't equal the other, and it's science. It's not scientific to think it does.
Bill Nye did the Lord's work, if you'll excuse the pun / ironic reference, by debating Ken Ham. But he also, when defending certain positions, he liked this one debate style where he says, I'm a patriot, so I think that we should have science because da 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 da. And I could tell, and if you want to play this back, it was on the Jon Stewart show where he says, I'm a patriot. From a poker perspective, especially using Joe Navarro, former FBI agent's tells, he gives low confidence tells when he says, I'm a patriot. And he clearly
he says it
doesn't.
He's supposed to.
Bill Nye is playing a political game right now. He's pushing back to shit like Kentucky building a $63 million Noah's Ark replica. That's offensive to Bill Nye. He has a celebrity and a science background, so he's trying to push back against that.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's fine with the government stealing any amount of money for any science they want to do that leads to drones that can kill innocent people.
I agree with you. I don't think he knows what – I think because he understands the universe – at a high level, that I think that he also thinks that he can play that political game at a high level. And I agree with you that those two things are in no way, they do not mean the other.
Hey, you know, I hate it when people say, you should interview so-and-so, but there's this guy I want to recommend to you.
Sure.
Who used to make his living playing poker. His name is James Davies, and I've interviewed him a few times, and he's a libertarian guy who runs a summer camp for kids in upstate New York, which is the most heavily regulated, like, running any kind of thing for kids state there is.
I would love to have that guy on. If he played poker professionally and came to Vegas for the World Series, I played 15-plus events and then the main.
I know
for
you
the
did.
Last
he didn't do that. He was just a guy who made his living for several years at poker.
Which again, don't think that you have to go to the World Series to do that. There's probably attending World Series tournaments for, like, really, really successful cash game players is probably minus EV. And they could probably run around and make $200K a year if they just decided to play in soft games.
His story is probably interesting in a different way. I think he was more like the backroom Chinese mafia, people with machine guns under their coats at the door, kind of like, you know, opium being smoked openly kind of games. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Hell of an interview. A quick Google businessman, looks like general hustler, maybe. His businessman. I don't know. I don't know when the line is drawn, but yeah, looks like an awesome guy. If I want more dot bit information, if I want to learn about the dot bit project and exactly how this Namecoin things work and how I give me like a 1 minute on that just for the people listening, and I'm going to do this myself. Of course.
I'll do 1 second, which is meowbit.com, and then turn the rest over to Derek.
Yeah, and if there's any questions, we got a forum on meowbit.com too. Let's get the questions rolling. There's a Namecoin forum, but it's really hard to get into, and it's more technical. And what we're trying to do with Meowbit is just make it more accessible to the average guy that doesn't understand the blockchain, you know, that just wants to get down and use it. And that's what Meowbit is.
How do I get that GUI client so I can register my own domain names without a command line? And if I, let's say I buy Namecoins on Cripsy, I download it. Where do I
go? Just go to our site. Go to the install page. It's right below the Meowbit install. Derek made an installer for it. It did not have one before.
What if I don't trust the Meowbit organization and I only trust signed downloads from the Namecoin developers?
Then you should go to namecoin.info, which is kind of confusing because the official site is namecoin.info. There's another one that's namecoin.org, which looks more official but is not the official site.
Really?
It's on GitHub. You can, I mean, if you really want to, you can, you know, find someone, do it yourself, or find somebody who knows how to compile it yourself. I mean, it's it's all open source.
Me personally, I would consider this proper due diligence. Now I'm just going to grab the Meowbit installer. But of course, you can understand that this community is a very, and it must be, of course, provable on a trust no one type of way. And you know, that's of course our, again, you got to watch Cosmos. You got to see Royal Society, 1660.
I'm sorry, I was totally talking over you.
Please, Michael.
We did an interview on Sovereign Tech Podcast the other day, which is the guy is a really heavy hitter tech guy, and he installed it and was happy with it. So I think that's sort of an endorsement.
Some tech guy installed it, guys.
Some tech guy installed it.
I would really encourage anybody to go audit the source code over at it's the Namecoins GitHub. Make sure it works. You know, compile it. The more people that are looking at this stuff and questioning it, the better, because it's just going to get a better
reputation.
You guys
take Litecoin, so you really are, and of course, being Namecoin ballers that you are, and you have to be the foremost Namecoin authority.
We take Namecoin. Three people in the world I know of that take Namecoin for donations is us, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and the Namecoin developer team.
Yeah, it's
more people should take it, man, because it may end up being worth a lot more than $3 each. I have some big advice for on that tip of like, you know, well, is this safe? Here's what I think. I think if you got a lot of cryptocurrencies, a lot of money in cryptocurrencies, you should not have them on the computer you're doing everything else on. I think you should, you know, if you have $10,000 in Bitcoin, I think you should go spend $500 at Walmart on a laptop that you just keep your money on. I also think here's some more advice that's really important. You should have more than one wallet and more than one address. The same way you wouldn't take all the money you own out with you. I mean, I carry a gun and I wouldn't carry all my money with me. I carry walking around money. You don't want to have all of your money in the wallet you're out making purchases on the internet with, because if someone figures a way into that wallet, they're going to get all your money. You should just have like 1% of your walking around money in that wallet.
I like, of course, in Vegas, of course, especially World Series of Poker time around the Rio, there's probably some people breaking that 1% walking around money rule. I'm just telling you that
But also somebody did some hacking and stole some Bitcoin at the Texas Bitcoin convention. There was somebody, according to Mark Edge on Free Talk Live, he said, I didn't get any more detail than this. I heard it in passing on Free Talk Live, but he said that somebody there had a packet sniffer and they were, you know, there were some people using weird software or whatever, and either they didn't have a password or they didn't have it, you know, muxed or whatever, and it was coming through in plain text.
Yeah.
And a couple people got their wallets emptied at that, who were doing, crazy, you know, buying and selling things there.
Encrypt your wallet.
There you go.
I would say I've talked about this recently, my personal cold storage system, and it's 20% here, 20% Electrum seed, 20% QT wallet right on the chain, 20% in my Seals with Clubs account, 20%, you know,
Smart.
And different computers, you know, multiple cloud backups. One of them only paper backups in multiple different physical locations.
Do you know the guy Boston Tea Party?
Not familiar with it, just by a username or something like that.
He's a libertarian writer that's been writing for about 20 years. He wrote the novel Moulin Labe. He wrote a bunch of books on prepping, you know, nonfiction books on guns, Boston's Gun Bible.
You and the Police is an incredible book.
You and the Police is his book that's basically the basis of the cop blocker movement. But he said something that really makes a lot of sense that I think people should get into more, is that, you know, if you have enough money to buy a really nice house, you're a lot smarter buying two houses in different locations that add up to the same amount of money.
I really love that.
Yeah.
Decentralize everything, even your home ownership.
Yeah.
Boys, I want to have you back on the show. I feel like I want you both to clear your schedules, and we need to do this for another 2 hours to get it all done. That's what I feel, just in terms of an amount of information.
I feel like we could talk a lot more about a lot of things.
I'm gonna have.
And, I'll tell you, if you want to hook up with, you know, some of the movers in the Liberty Movement, Porkfest. I know you're a long way away from it, but Porkfest is every summer in New Hampshire, at a campground. Like, you know, Michael mentioned Ben Stone earlier. We're trying to get him there, but it's just incredible to meet some of these
it's people always talk about, like, well, will we ever get to a libertarian paradise? It's literally a libertarian paradise for a week in the woods.
So is Burning Man, right?
No, because okay. Burning Man is a bunch of people who vote, and they vote for Obama, and they think that the government needs to make everything right. Everybody at Porkfest
is a broad stroke painted over Burning Man, by the way.
I know.
I've never been, but I just, you know, playing devil's advocate.
Well, put it this way. I mean, there's probably people doing Bitcoin stuff now at Burning Man, but Bitcoin, since its inception, has been accepted for a lot of things in trade.
I saw the Porkfest, the ATM. I think there was an ATM, Bitcoin ATM there last year.
Yeah, I bought some Bitcoin in it. Yeah.
I've seen, I think the Bitcoin briefcase made its debut there. Maybe not. But I'm a fan of that. I have a 1.4-year-old child now, so that restricts travel. And
there's kids there. There's kids at Porkfest.
Yeah, it's actually pretty kid friendly.
It's good sale.
I haven't taken our kids, but
it's a good sale, boys.
Derek would take his kids if they were 1.5. He can't because they're old enough to know what's going on there now.
Yeah, well, they have more fun. They have more fun at Ani's house with their cousins than they mm-hmm. have sleeping in a tent on the ground. But not that you have to sleep in a tent on the ground.
Camping. Oof. Poker player.
Well, there's hotels, and you can rent an RV. There's all kinds of options. There's a nice hotel down the road with a great bar. So,
hey, what kind of microphone are you using?
I have Shure microphones into a Yamaha. This is a ghetto setup. It's an extremely ghetto situation over here, Michael. And
I have a recommendation for you for a $50 USB mic that just kicks ass on your sound.
I would. I have a very expensive everything that I don't know how to use it, and I'm sure a $50 USB mic would be better.
This is plug and play. This is like everybody I know, I'm getting them to get this, and they sound so much better.
Ship along the info, Michael. I love it.
I will, man.
Hey, listen, guys, thank you very much for coming on Donk Down Radio, and I can't thank you enough, and I think I have to message both of you privately after this because I'm going to have technical questions later, and you guys have to come back on and disseminate some more .bit, Namecoin, libertarian, voluntarism information.
You got
great.
It.
Yeah, I look forward to helping anytime, Brian. It's great to be on the show.
Derek and Michael, thank you very, very much. Meowbit.com. I'm sure there's a .bit mirror if you can fucking install that there shit first before getting there the first time. You have a chicken and the egg issue with the .bit. But no, it's awesome, and I hope that it works. I hope we decentralize DNS eventually by the time child goes to college or whatever.
By the time they start taking them away in a couple of years.
How about that, Michael? I hope you're wrong, but I also hope that you're right in the sense that there's a sick backup.
I hope I'm wrong, too.
Gentlemen,
all right, brother, man.
Thanks again. Meowbit.com.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Brian.
Later, guys. And Michael does a podcast, and Google the Michael Dean. Those guys are awesome. Love those guys.